Good morning, everybody. Hi, Madeline. Congratulations on graduating from college. It's a big deal. Wonderfully big deal. Well, before we begin this morning, I thought I would suggest a summer Bible project, if you're interested, at the teaching section of our website, at the concluded series section. There's a teaching series called The Word of Truth. It's seventh up from the bottom of the list. And it's a series on all the great themes and doctrines of the Bible. And there are eight of them. You could study one a week. It would take you through most of the summer. There's an audio version and a written version. The written versions also have footnotes if you want to do further study. But I thought it might be something that would give you a special project if you'd like to put your hand to it this summer. Well, take your Bible and turn to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. Prayer. It's the simplest thing in the world to do, and it's also the hardest thing in the world to do. As we near the end of the Apostle John's first letter, he encourages us to pray. And John has been writing about our having fellowship with God and his Son, Jesus Christ. And in that fellowship, we share in the very life of God. Trusting in Jesus Christ for salvation, we are born of God. His life is in us. And our new life is supposed to be characterized by truth and love and righteousness. And prayer is the perfect expression of all three of those. Because love should be the motivation for our prayers. Truth, its expression. And righteousness, the goal of our prayers. As I said, prayer can be the easiest thing in the world. I really believe that there's a deep-seated instinct in every single person to pray. That's why they say there's no atheists in foxholes. Given the right circumstances and the right pressures of life, people almost naturally pray. But prayer can also be very difficult as well. How should we pray? For what should we pray? And what about when it seems that our prayers are not answered? In our verses from John's epistle today, the Word of God is going to offer us a basic principle about prayer, and then that's going to be followed by a very specific illustration. So let's begin reading in 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Now, it's very important for all of us that we make time to pray. If you make time to breathe every day, you should make time to pray. If we want to be faithful and robust Christians, we need to make time to pray. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus Christ said that we always ought to pray and not to lose heart. And so in light of all that goes on in our life, prayer is a means to keep us encouraged and not discouraged when life happens the wrong way. In fact, in the Gospel of Mark, it tells us that Jesus Christ rose up a great while before daybreak to pray. And so if Jesus Christ needed to take time to pray, who are we to think that we can skip it and go on our merry way? If we want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to do the things that he did. And John says we can have confidence or boldness in our prayer. The Greek word for boldness is parhesia, and it means to speak openly, without fear, honestly, boldly, and with courage. The Word of God constantly encourages us to pray boldly, openly, honestly. Read the Psalms sometime and see how the psalmist poured their heart out to God. But in the New Testament, in Hebrews 4, it declares, "Seeing that we have a great high priest, Jesus the Son of God, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, quote, "Having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near to God with a true heart in full assurance of faith." So we can pray without worry, without fear. We can pray openly, honestly, and with boldness because Jesus Christ has made a way for us to stand before the Almighty, who is now our Father. Let's read these verses again from 1 John chapter 4, 5, verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Now, before we examine what it means to ask according to the will of God, let me ask another question for us. Why does God want us to pray? Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. First, God desires for us to pray for our own benefit and our own peace of mind. In the same way that parents want their children to talk to them and open up their hearts to them, God, our Heavenly Father, wants us to open our hearts up to him so that we might be comforted and have peace. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Could there be any words more encouraging to motivate us to pray? There is never a reason, never, to fret or worry or to be full of anxiety. We can trust in God's care and God's wisdom. Therefore, in everything, all that concerns us, we can bring it before God with an open and an honest heart. The Greek word translated prayer here indicates prayer made to God, understanding how powerful he is and giving prominence to your personal devotion and worship. So let me ask a question. When you pray in the morning, do you open up your shopping list and go, "Good morning, Father, I need A, B, C, D, E, F, and G"? I must admit that I have a bad habit of doing that. And I have to stop myself and say, wait a minute, I'm talking to my Father. How are you, Father? I love you. In everything, by prayer, having a regard to God's mighty power and your own personal devotion, then it says, let your supplication or your request be made known to God. And then with those requests, make those requests with thanksgiving, because a grateful heart is an absolutely beautiful heart. And gratitude keeps us from being sullied and depressed. And when we pray trusting in God and believing that he knows what is best for us and that his strength will be with us in all that we do, then our hearts and our minds can be guarded with that peace of God. So first, God wants us to pray for our own benefit and encouragement. And secondly, God wants us to pray so that we are involved in the work of salvation with him. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Go back one book. Ephesians 6. In Ephesians 6, we're reminded that there's a great spiritual battle raging for the hearts and minds of men and women. And therefore, in all of life, we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In our daily battle against wickedness and evil, we have to put on the whole armor of God. We're told to put on the breastplate of righteousness, to take up the shield of faith, to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then it says, pray, pray, pray. Let's read that in verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for how many of the saints? All. I don't know about you, but I have needs. I have struggles. I have concerns. I know none of you probably have anything weighing on your minds. But if you're like me, you would probably be grateful for the prayers of other believers. We're only together a little bit during the week on Sunday. It's kind of like a football huddle. We're only together for a few moments, and then we break out to get into the world to carry our play that God has given to us. And so we need to pray for one another. I don't know what you're going through every week, but God does. And if I lift you in prayer and say, Father, my brothers and sisters are out there today. Fill them with your love. Fill them with your wisdom. Well, that's one of the most loving and wonderful things we can do for one another. God wants us to pray so that we're involved in the work of salvation. Let's return back to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 again. We're going to read these over and over again until we get them rooted deep into our hearts. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Now, in one stroke, the Apostle John has demolished the idea that prayer is a means of getting God to do my will. The Almighty is not a cosmic bellhop waiting for me to say, chop, chop, Lord, time for you to do my bidding. John wrote that our prayers must be according to God's will to be heard. Stated negatively, James put it this way, quote, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. In other words, are we asking for something for our own self-interest? Or are we really asking for that which will help us to live righteously and according to God's will? Are we asking for something to make us look good or to make our lives more comfortable? Or are we asking for God to be glorified in all that we do? Let me give you an example. Suppose I'm in a situation with a very disagreeable person. Maybe it's somebody at work, maybe it's somebody at school, could be even somebody in your own family or in your own home. And so you pray, God, please get this person out of my life. Or you pray, dear God, can't you change so-and-so's heart? Well, maybe it's God's will for you to be in that very difficult situation. Maybe his goal is to change your heart. Therefore, let's pray, God, change so-and-so's heart. But, Father, help me to be more loving, more kind, more patient. Perhaps God wants to make you more patient and loving and kind so that you're the example that changes the other person. Maybe the other person never changes. But if you say, Father, work in me to will and to do of your good will in this situation, you'll always come out the better. God will answer your prayer. Sometimes we just don't know what the will of God is. And so Romans 8 tells us that the Spirit of God within us makes intercession for us when we don't know what God's will is. So you can always speak in tongues. And when you speak in tongues, the promise in the Word of God is that you will be edified. You will be comforted. You will be strengthened. And you know what? We can always pray in the manner of the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Father, today do something to make your name holy in my life. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, work in me so that I accomplish your will today. Dear Heavenly Father, meet my needs. Help me to forgive as you forgive me. I think God will answer those prayers, don't you? Now, it may not be that God answers the prayer in the way you envisioned it being answered. It may not be answered in the timetable in which you want it to be answered. But God will always make good on his promises. God will do his part if we are faithful to do our part. But now let me bring up one more point. At times, it may be God's will for you to go through a very difficult situation. Not to cause you pain for pain's sake, but because you need to go through hell, so to speak, so that Christ can be formed in you, or so that you can do something more beneficial for somebody else. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and chapter 12, the Apostle Paul wrote about his troubles. He had been stoned, he had been whipped, he'd been shipwrecked, he'd been in jail, he had been hungry, he had been cold. And three times he asked the Lord to remove this thorn in the flesh from him, and the answer was simply this: my grace is sufficient for you. So if it is needed for you to go through a difficult time, know that the Lord's grace, his strength, his wisdom will be with you to enable you to go through that difficult journey so that you become more like Christ or you bring a better blessing to someone else. Now let's go back to 1 John chapter 5 And John's going to give us a specific example of praying according to the will of God. John chapter 5, verse 16. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, and he, God, will give him life. For those who commit sin not leading to death, there is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. Having told us to have confidence in prayer, John now gives us a specific example of praying according to God's will. And he says, here's a way you can pray according to God's will. Pray for your brothers and sisters, especially for those who are caught in a web of sin. So often we think of praying about our own needs, our own job, our own health. But John says, if you want an example of what it means to pray in the will of God, pray for one another. Having access to God through prayer implies that we have a responsibility for one another. Just think, I can actually go into the throne room of God, into the holiest of holies, and lift Madonna or Carol or John or my son David to the Lord in prayer. What a precious thing that is. Now, to be honest with you, I really do not understand what John means here by there's a sin that leads unto death and that we should not pray for it. I have some ideas. For example, in Acts chapter 5, a married couple by the name of Ananias and Sapphira sold a possession and made a big deal out of it that they were going to give all the proceeds to the Lord, and they didn't. They kept a big portion of it back. They lied about it. And I'm not really clear about what their exact sin was, besides lying, greed, some other thing. But it must have been so grievous that when they were confronted by it, they both died. In 1 Corinthians 11, the Apostle Paul reproved the church at Corinth because when they gathered to have their church meal and the Lord's Supper, they were drunk. They ate all the food before the really hungry people got there. And Paul says to them, this is why some of you are very sick and why some of you sleep. In other words, have died. It could also be that John is specifically thinking of those false teachers who denied Jesus Christ, because he says if you deny the Son, you've denied the Father, and to be without the Son and without the Father leaves you without the hope of everlasting life. I'm not exactly sure what he means, but I do know that God does chasten his people, it says in Hebrews, and in Peter it says that judgment will always start in the house of God first. Now, having said that, let me say one more thing to you. We shouldn't be too quick to assume that someone has sinned a sin which leads to death. Oh, goody, goody, I get to pray for them to die. It shouldn't be like that at all. We should be more quick to pray for somebody, even when they look the most reprehensible, than to not pray for them. I'll tell you why. Think about Peter. Peter loved the Lord Jesus Christ, but on the night that Jesus Christ was arrested, Peter was cowardly. Peter ran, and when he was asked, do you know this man from Galilee? Peter denied Jesus Christ vehemently and with oaths and with cursings. If that's not a sin unto death, I don't know what is. But Peter did not die. You want to know why? Jesus Christ prayed for Peter. In Luke chapter 22, Jesus said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. So, my dear friends, we do not need encouragement not to pray. We need encouragement to pray. We need encouragement to pray, especially for one another. And when we pray with confidence, focused on God's power and God's grace and on accomplishing God's will, we have the petitions we have asked for. So may we have this confidence and this boldness to pray according to the will of God. Heavenly Father, I'm grateful for your word. And I'm grateful that even when we don't understand all of it fully, we understand enough of it to be loving and kind. Father, you're the judge. You take care of people's hearts. You decide who lives and who dies and who lives eternally and who does not. Our job is to speak your word in love and to pray for one another. May we do that with all that we are. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Amen.